Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox.
I'm Ben Kinslow.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
Amid the buzz of secular media and political positioning, many times the truth about Israel is lost. Many people only know of the perceived conflict in Israel's West Bank, a situation often described in destructive terms by secular media. Yet, for the Jewish families living in the historical biblical land of Judea and Samaria, commonly referred to as the West Bank, reality is quite different.
Well, that is true, Earl. And what people forget in the hostility of the debate is that Judea and Samaria are the biblical heartland of Israel. For decades now, Jewish communities have flourished in the land where their ancestors lived in biblical times. And while life may not always be easy there, the multiple challenges are still worth the joys and satisfaction of fulfilling God's promises to his people.
Raising a family in any community, anywhere, can be challenging. But for those in Judea and Samaria, there's an added set of challenges. Sandra Barris, the director of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities in Israel, is well aware of this uniqueness. And Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard recently had an up-close discussion with her. We'll bring you that insightful interview in just a moment. But first, let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. Prime Minister Netanyahu, in his recent trip to India, met with senior Indian business people at a power breakfast. He called on them to invest in Israel in a variety of fields and invited them to join the long list of major international companies that have already invested in Israel and opened research and development centers there. The Prime Minister said that he was certain that in Israel they could find advanced technological solutions in a variety of fields. The Israeli business delegation is the largest delegation that has ever accompanied a Prime Minister on an official visit. The goal of the delegation is to deepen economic ties and create joint business opportunities between Israeli and Indian business people. Prime Minister Netanyahu noted, "We are truly your partners. This is a partnership made in heaven. Let us now consecrate it on earth. Come to Israel, invest in Israel, and Israel will come here as well." Now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's today's This Page in History.
On February 13, 1955, Israel acquired four of seven Dead Sea Scrolls. Between 1947 and 1956, thousands of fragments of biblical and early Jewish documents were discovered in the 11 caves near the site of Kirbet Qumran on the shores of the Dead Sea. These important texts have revolutionized our understanding of the way the Bible was transmitted and have illuminated a general cultural and religious background of ancient Palestine. The texts have great historical, religious, and linguistic significance because they include the second oldest known surviving manuscripts of works later included in the Hebrew Bible canon, along with extra-biblical manuscripts. Israel's possession of the scrolls have come into question in recent days. Along with the international challenges to Jewish sovereignty over biblical sites in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem itself, there will be a day where the true stewards of the scrolls and the lands promised to Abraham will be acknowledged.
Welcome back, everybody. While most of the world's media prefers a biased portrayal of the so-called West Bank, known as the biblical land of Judea and Samaria, the true reality on the ground is quite different. Kevin Howard recently talked with Sandra Barris to find out more.
Thanks, Earl. And you are correct. I am with Sandra Barris. She is the director of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities in the Israel office, and she's on the phone with me today. Sandra, thanks for being our guest on the program.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
Can you tell our audience the meaning of Judea and Samaria as the biblical heartland of Israel?
Well, you know, it starts really simple. If you look at Genesis 12, God calls Abraham and tells him for the first time to go to the land of Israel. And when he gets here, he gets to Samaria. That's his first stop. And he stops at the Oak of Moreh, just outside of Shechem. And it is there that God says, I will give this land to your children. And that very spot is located in the middle of what is referred today as the West Bank. So our whole connection with the land of Israel, actually our connection as a nation with the God of Israel and our destiny as a people, which is, of course, wrapped up in the land of Israel, it began in Samaria. And throughout the biblical period, the Jewish people are centered in Judea and Samaria. So if we have any right to any part of the land of Israel, we certainly belong in Judea and Samaria.
So why is this area of land so controversial, and where does it lay out historically?
Okay, well, first of all, it's very important to understand that the borders that we had in 1948 were not real permanent borders. They were just ceasefire lines. It is what Israel managed to hold on to, fighting for its life against five Arab armies that had invaded Israel the minute it became a state. The expansion of that area to include Judea and Samaria, which happened in the miraculous Six-Day War, that happened not because we decided, oh, time has come, let's expand, but because we were attacked. And we were attacked from a place from Judea and Samaria by the Jordanians, attacked from a place that had also been a launching ground of terrorist attacks to Israel the entire 19 years between 1948 and 1967. So actually, from a legal point of view, we had every right to respond, and we had every right to capture the territory from which we were attacked. Why it's controversial? You know what? I don't know. If you think about it clearly, it makes absolutely no sense. We have every legal right to be here. This is the heart of our historical homeland. For people of faith, this is the heart of biblical Israel. It makes no sense that this should be controversial, except that the Palestinians have figured out, you see, they used to keep saying they don't want to recognize Israel on any borders, and they were making a big fuss over all of Israel. And then they realized that there was a little chink in the armor, that if they focused on the part that's just Judea and Samaria and created a narrative that said real Israel was what was there before 1967, and fake Israel is what happened after 1967, they could create sympathy for this idea of a Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria. And unfortunately, the world bought into it. It makes no sense. It's not logical. There's no historical basis for it. And that is what's made it controversial, that the world has bought in to the Palestinian narrative.
So, Sandra, what's your words to the nations that are accepting this propaganda narrative?
Well, we have a problem in general, and it's not just about Israel, life in general. Today, people like to make decisions based upon 3 seconds of information that gets put their way, especially a picture. The only way to combat that is to change the mindset of our audience so that they are willing to dig deeper. They're willing to read and listen and understand processes that have gone on for more than 5 minutes. That's something that we're working very hard to do. We've tried to condense it, and we have short, few-minute clips on the internet. We have a small little map booklet that in just a few pages, very small pocket size, with maps and diagrams, tells you the story. We are hoping to get this stuff up to as many people as possible so that they do understand that they're being fed a false propaganda narrative as opposed to the truth.
Can you tell our listeners about the families that live in these communities? What are they up against on a regular basis?
Anyone living here, they turn on the news, especially the foreign news, or they hear foreign dignitaries or presidents or prime ministers from other countries saying Jews have to get out of there. And here you are living here. This is your home. This is where you've raised your children. This is where you've built your business. And you, every night on the news, are listening to somebody else saying, no, get them out of there. It's potentially a demoralizing issue. But that also translates into very real practical problems. For example, the government of Israel has been very hesitant over the past few years to provide permits for additional building construction in our communities. In some places, this creates a real bottleneck or even suffocation. Like, we have children, they're growing up, they're getting married, they want to come back and build their own homes in the places where they grew up, and they're not getting building permits, even for natural growth. And we have, thank God, a lot of natural growth. This is what we need. So these are challenges we're facing. And probably the biggest challenge, of course, is terrorism, because we do live in an area where there's a lot of Arabs living, a lot of Palestinians who are very hostile. Some of them are hostile to our very presence here. And they're being encouraged by Palestinian leadership, both in the Palestinian Authority and in Hamas, to fight and to attack innocent women, children, senior citizens, just people going about their business. You know, you mentioned the fires. There were fires in two communities, in Neve Tzuf and in Talmon. And whereas some of the fires in other parts of Israel were not terrorist-related arson, in those two communities, it was absolutely proven that these, I mean, we have this on camera, that these fires were set by arsonists. And so Palestinian arsonists who wanted to murder Jews in their homes by burning down their houses. And of course, this is a very dangerous situation that we have to deal with every single day.
So what would you say about those then that are trying to keep that narrative moving forward in the Palestinian Authority government?
I think that life is stronger than rhetoric, no question. And I would venture to say that most of the Palestinians living around us would just like to get on with their lives, and that there's no question that the Palestinian leadership has been very corrupt, and this is both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas been corrupt, and they've done everything except look after the interests of their people. And in fact, I have met and heard Palestinians, not a lot, but some, more and more in recent years, who are actually bold enough to come out and say this, who are bold enough to come out and say, we would prefer to live under Israeli rule because we know we will be treated fairly. We know we will have opportunities for supporting our families, for working. The Palestinian leadership in the past tried to enforce a boycott against Israel and against the communities by announcing that all the Palestinian workers in the Jewish communities would just quit their jobs on a given day, and no one quit their job because they wanted these jobs. The Palestinian Authority wasn't providing for them, wasn't giving them alternative jobs. In my own community of Karnei Shomron, there are at least 150 Arabs from the neighboring villages who come in and work every single day. Each of those Arabs is supporting families with children, parents, grandparents. That is an ever-widening circle. We're just one community. On the ground, people are working and getting along. Unfortunately, there is so much incitement going on, particularly today in social media, that we see teenagers who are infected by this stuff, very often against the wishes of their parents, and going out and trying to stab people because they think they're going to, you know, end up being in heaven or get brownie points from Allah or I don't know what. And this is a challenge we have to deal with. I think, though, if the Palestinian leadership were replaced by a more pragmatic group of people, and this is something that the international community could be very instrumental in moving along. If the President of the United States and the international community would focus their efforts on improving living conditions as opposed to political solutions, I think we would go a long way to easing terrorism in this area.
Sandra, Jerusalem is celebrating in Israel its 50th anniversary from the reunification in 1967. What does that mean for the communities in Judea and Samaria?
For 50 years now, Judea and Samaria has been controlled by Israel. And there was an immediate outpouring of joy and support for returning to these areas by Jews, not only in Israel, but all over the world. You know, if you talk to people today who are in their 50s and older, they all have their memories of those days after the Six-Day War. And so many of them talking about taking that first trip to Hebron, their first trip to Bethlehem, that first trip to Jerusalem, to see areas that were absolutely closed off to Jews for 19 years. On an official point of view, this area has been treated kind of as the stepchild of Israel. It was never annexed, and while there are Jewish communities all over the place, the political situation in recent years, particularly beginning with the Oslo process in 1993, created expectations for the establishment of a Palestinian state here. It has never been clear if there will be a Palestinian state, and if so, what would happen to the Jewish communities that are located in Judea and Samaria. So that has put a huge question mark on the future of Judea and Samaria. But today, 50 years later, we're still here, despite all the prophecies of doom that went out there saying, oh, so you'll last another few years and then they'll dismantle you, get rid of you. It's just really not going to happen. And more people, both in Israel and around the world, realize that, whether they like it or not. They realize that we're here to stay. And more than the conversation in Israel is turning towards, okay, let's put this area in the legal status that it deserves. Let's annex all of it. Let's annex part of it. Let's at least begin a process that erases that so-called green line forever. enables everyone around the world to recognize that Judea and Samaria is always going to be part of Israel. What do we do with the Palestinians? That's a separate question. I think there's a lot of options out there. All of us want Palestinians to have a good life and to live in peace with us. But that doesn't need to be at the expense of Israeli control over Judea and Samaria.
Well, considering the frequent barrage of misinformation surrounding Judea and Samaria, it would be good to remember to pray for unity and peace within Israel, as well as a better understanding among Christians around the world. But right now, we need to take a short break so that you can hear about a special outreach project of Christian Friends of Israel that's making a tremendous difference for some very special people in the land of Israel today.
You stand on duty, with the wind biting through your uniform. The day is overcast, and winter's chill bites deeper as the day progresses on into evening. You hear rumors of what some in the nations say about you as an IDF soldier. You wonder if anyone outside of Israel ever really cares. The next morning, you hear that you are going to have visitors. A small group of civilians is arriving, bringing fleece jackets, hats, smiles, and support from the nations. As you interact, you cannot help but feel the genuine care and love expressed by these new friends from something called Project David's Shield. With a warm jacket and very cool hat, you sit to listen as these new friends explain the care and concern that so many in the nations have for the tiny nation you protect. You learn that they consider you the modern-day warriors of David's army, defending the people of the land. Your heart is warmed by more than the jacket they provide. It is also warmed by the knowledge that you are not alone. There are many who really care.
Christian Friends of Israel's project, David's Shield. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to our continuing discussion between Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard and Sandra Barris, the director of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities in Israel, as they take an honest look at the realities facing the Jewish communities dwelling in Israel's biblical heartland.
Thanks again, Earl. And for those of you just joining us, I am with Sandra Barris. She is the director of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities in the Israel office. Sandra, how do the communities view the new Trump administration in America?
When President Trump was first won the election, and particularly around the inauguration, there was euphoria. There's no other way to describe it here in Israel, particularly among the right and among the communities in Judea and Samaria. And that was because of very strong statements that he issued before the election and immediately after the election, where he said he wanted to move the embassy to Jerusalem, where he talked about Israel having the right to live in Judea and Samaria. He selected as his U.S. ambassador to Israel David Friedman, who is a longtime supporter of Jewish settlement in Samaria. He was, in fact, the chairman of the American Friends of Beit El. So all those pointed in a very positive direction. There were a number of leaders of the settlement movement and mayors of communities in Judea and Samaria that were actually invited to participate in the inauguration, which was an amazing first. In recent weeks, Trump seems to have modified his tone, saying that he doesn't think building in the settlements is a smart idea, although he recognizes that this should be an Israeli decision. And that gets us a bit worried. On the other hand, it could also be that he is trying to position the United States so that it's not seen as being too much taking on Israel's side so that it can maintain its status as a broker between Israel and the Palestinians. And that's fine. But remains to be seen what exactly will happen. For now, Israel has recently issued building permits in Judea and Samaria. For us, that's the key issue. We need to be given the ability to build based on supply and demand, not based on politics. If we do that, I am confident that we will see, today we're at 430,000 Jews in Judea and Samaria. I would like to see in the next 5 years at least another 150 or 200,000 people living here. That will make a huge difference.
So do you feel things in the UK have now taken a more positive look at Israel?
from an international point of view, there is definitely movement in the direction of conservative political parties. And I think Brexit was part of that. Part of this is also a backlash against multiculturalism and the way it has been taken to its extreme in so many countries, which, of course, ironically, has allowed Muslim populations, particularly in Europe, to thrive. They have been welcomed in the spirit of liberalism, which is good, but on the other hand, it's been taken to extreme so that we have radical Muslim groups taking advantage of this open attitude in a very insidious way, putting themselves into Europe and even in the United States where we've seen terrorist attacks, etc. So I think that kind of thing is creating a backlash where people are going back and saying, wait, we are Americans, we are British, we are Dutch, we are whatever, and we're proud of it. And we don't want to have people coming into our countries that are going to undermine our national identity. If you want to join us, fine, but don't come and try to undermine us. All that kind of movement that's going on all over the world for each country's own national interests, though, plays into the hands of Israel, because Israel has been fighting this battle alone for so many years. And now, little by little, we have countries all over the world that are beginning to understand that radical Islam is a major international threat, and that what Israel has been facing on a small scale here in the Middle East is erupting all over the world. And I'm hoping that as more and more conservative leaders are elected into office, Israel and these other leaders will be able to build a coalition of people that are able to face reality, call it by its real name, and then work together to defeat this kind of terrorism.
Finally, Sandra, what's your message to Christians listening today about Judea and Samaria?
I think Christians are uniquely positioned to be major supporters of Israel and particularly of Judea and Samaria. Christians understand the Bible. I, as an Orthodox Jew, I'm coming here to Judea and Samaria, but my connection with this is that it's the deepest, most spiritual level I know. This is the land that God gave to the Jewish people, and that's why I'm here. This is where God said we would return at the end of days, and he has done that. We are living out a miracle, and not enough people understand that. If we could see all of Christianity standing up and saying the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people because God said so, period, what an amazing effect that would have on the world. And that's my message to every single Christian. Don't be silent. Don't be meek. Stand up. Declare it. Get your church to support it. This is why we need you. And I think, by the way, as people of faith, Jew and Christian, we can do so much if we're working together because we share an amazing faith and love for God.
Sandra Baris, the Director of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities in Israel. You can find her at cfoic.com. Thank you for being our guest today on Front Page Jerusalem.
You're welcome.
Ben, back to you in the studio.
Well, thanks, Kevin, for that honest and insightful discussion about the biblical lands of Judea and Samaria. Well, our time's almost up for this week, and coming up, we'll hear from David Nekrutman, the executive director of CJCUC, with this week's Bible on the Go. But first, another visit to the CFIJ News Desk and David Milburn.
The IDF reportedly carried out strikes in Syria overnight. Several blasts were reported at an ammunition storage facility at the Mezeh military airbase in Syria. The location was previously hit in IDF strikes in 2017 and 16. Mixed reports claimed that the strikes were carried out by IDF jets, others claiming that surface-to-surface missiles were used in the attack. The Syrian army denied any attack, as it commonly does in attacks from Israel. It claimed that the strikes and multiple deaths were a result of an electrical malfunction. Syrian defense systems reportedly responded to Israel missile fire on the site. Ahead of the weekend, reports surfaced that Iran recently transferred ballistic missiles to its Shiite proxies in Iraq in order to protect its interests in the region. Sources claim the transfer of short-range ballistic missiles was a backup plan if Iran was attacked. The missiles are capable of hitting targets between 200 to 700 kilometers away, a threat to Israel, Western Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. The reports also claim that Iran is looking into domestic missile production in Iraq. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with the Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte in Jerusalem on Monday, the first visit by a head of state from the Philippines to Israel. He is in Israel with a delegation of business people and politicians for meetings. During his four-day tour in Israel, he met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, signing three bilateral agreements in caregiving, scientific and technical cooperation, and investment and trade between Israel and the Philippines. Before we return to Earl and Ben, here's David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go.
I often have the honor of having pastors at my Sabbath table on Friday evening. And in Jewish tradition, we have a ritual where we lay our hands on our kids and we bless them with Genesis 48:20, "May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh," followed by the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And a pastor once asked me, he said, "I don't understand why you put Jacob's blessing before God's blessing." So that's an excellent question. In fact, you're right. God actually mandated that you should be blessing this blessing, and Jacob just did this on the fly. But I think the answer is that Ephraim and Manasseh are the first two biblical brothers that get along with one another. Cain and Abel, it didn't work out well for them, and Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Ishmael. Now we have Ephraim and Manasseh that are one unit in the family life. But more importantly, they are born in Egyptian culture. They are saturated with pagan influences, yet they still retain their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I said, this is probably the reason why we say the bliss blessing before the priestly blessing, because we want to give over to our kids that no matter what, we stand with God. No matter what temptations are out there, no matter what secular influences are there to pull away from that faith, we affirm that we're standing with God. And by that affirmation, then we can get the blessings from the priestly blessing about covenant and revelation about His word and all the material blessings associated with the priestly blessing. This is David Nekrutman with Bible on the Go.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And please, please don't forget to support this station, because it supports Israel.
And before we go, we want to remind you to please pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and let me invite you to join us on this station again right here next week, as we bring you all the latest from Israel and the Middle East.
So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox, reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem, making a difference in Israel one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media, Incorporated.